Well, good morning. Hope you guys are doing well. Not too wet from the rain. Glad you're here. You made it. Thank you for being here in person. This would have been an easy couch watching session, wouldn't it have been? It's a little rainy today, but glad that you're here. My name is Jamie. If we hadn't met yet, I get to be the lead pastor of East Cup Church. Excited about what we're talking about today. Growing up, my dad taught me a lot of things. Maybe that's true of your dad. Maybe that's something you can recount about him. But my dad, I remember, taught me a whole bunch of different things just growing up. Things, some of them were helpful. Some of them were spiritual. Some of them were funny, you know, like things like always go to church, always carry cash. That was one. Never do plumbing and electrical by yourself ever. Don't do that. And you can pick your friends. You can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. I used to say that all the time. It's one of my dad's sayings. Some of y'all just got that maybe? I don't know. Someone laughed late. That was funny. But one of the things my dad did teach me early on is he told me that I should invest. He said that. He was a business guy and said you should invest. And really, as early as you can and you're financially able, you should start investing, you know, like in a retirement account, like saving for, you know, investing for the future. And you should just do it consistently no matter what. You should just invest. And of course, when you're young, you say things like, yeah, but like why? Like I don't have that much money to begin with, and I'd kind of rather have it now than when I'm 65, right? Why should I do this now? And of course, that was when he taught me one of the most powerful principles in the world, a principle that Einstein purportedly said was the eighth wonder of the world, and that is the power of compounding interest. If you don't know what compounding interest is, that's okay. Let me give you an illustration. Let's do a little hypothetical here. Let's say that you decided to invest $5,000 a year. Every single year of your life, starting now, you're just gonna invest $5,000 in like a retirement account or some investment fund or whatever you wanna do it. And let's assume that every year you also got 8% growth. Like an 8% return just went right back into the fund. You may think that's optimistic, but there's joy in the house of the Lord today. Amen. So let's just say that happened. If you did that for 10 years, you would have been put in $50,000, but that $50,000 would be worth $72,000, which is pretty good. Like, yeah, about like what, $12,000 growth? Nice. Now, if you were to keep doing it another 10 years and you were to invest for 20 years, you're now $100,000 in would be worth $247,000. Pretty cool. It's growing even more now. But if you were to go 30 years, do it another 10. Now you're $150,000 in, but it's worth $611,000. That's amazing. You're like, I could just stop there, but if you go 10 more years, this is where the magic happens. 10 more years and you invest for 40 years, $200,000 in would be worth $1.3 million. $1.3 million, which is wild, right? It's the same dollar amount, same habit, same discipline, but the longer it goes, the faster it grows. The only difference, same dollar amount, same discipline, same habit. What's the only difference? The amount of time. Yeah, the amount of time that you decided to invest. The longer it goes, the faster it grows. And the growth is not linear. The growth is exponential. It gets bigger the longer you wait. And in fact, this is crazy. If you look right here, the difference between these two amounts is 678, no. 89, whoops, $689,000. That is more than the other 30 combined. In the last 10 years, it generated more wealth than the first 30 years of investing. That's what they call the power of compounding investment, the power of compounding interest, the power of compounding interest. And I know you didn't come here to talk about financial advice and getting that from me today. So why am I talking about this? Let me tell you why. Here's why. Because the subject matter that we're talking about in this series, it works the exact same way. It works the exact same way. We're in the middle of a series called Legacy. And we're talking about what you pass on that continues on even after you are gone. It's about the idea that you saw in that opening video, the idea that life is like a race, but it's not a sprint. It's not even, as we so colloquially say, exactly like a marathon. It's actually about a third, much more about like a third kind of race. It's more like a relay race. This is what life is more like. Why? Because you aren't just running your race. You are carrying something. You're building something for those who are running behind you and who are gonna come after you. And one day, I mean, be that your spouse, your kids, your friends, your family, coworkers, neighbors. One day you're gonna pass it on. In fact, truth is you already are. Your life is already passing things on to the people running behind you and coming after you. And it's happening right now. Everyone leaves a legacy, whether they know they are or not, intend to or not, thinking about it or not, aware or not. And here's what's also true is every single one of us deeply, deeply wants it to be good. We want it to be good. I wanna pass on something good. So that's what we've been talking about. And last week we started in what perhaps was a peculiar place. We didn't start with this moment right here where you hand something off, nor did we even, in the race metaphor, talk about this moment where you're running. We actually started with this one right here. We started talking about the baton, the legacy that you've been handed before you even started your race. Why? Because what's been passed to us, it has a tendency of being passed through us. And so we dug into that a little bit and what God wants to do with all of that. But today we're gonna shift our focus from what we've been handed to how we are running our race. I'm gonna talk about that today. Now, the backdrop for this whole series is a specific book of the Bible. It's the book called 2 Timothy, which is actually a letter written from the Apostle Paul, one of the most famous missionary and Christian writer in history. He's writing from a Roman prison shortly before he's going to be executed. This is his last letter, his last words. These are literally the last words we have from Paul. And he's writing this letter to his beloved protege, Timothy. And so this letter is full of legacy. Not only is Paul reflecting on his legacy, but he is exhorting and encouraging. He's trying to equip Timothy to go live his own, And that's the book of the Bible that we are diving into. And here's the point of today. According to Paul, it turns out that legacy works a lot like a 401k, an investment account. And why? Because a legacy, it doesn't build up at once. It show up at once. It builds up over time. Your legacy, it doesn't show up all at once. It builds up over time. And you've seen this happening in life all around you. Seen this happening over and over again. Like, for example, you've met that couple who's 40 years into marriage, and somehow they're not just surviving, they are still thriving. There's still warmth, and there's life, and there's a sense of unshakable love. How did they do it? You know the answer. It's investment over time. That's how they did it. It wasn't 1 year or one trip or one romantic gesture. No, it was choosing and loving each other over decades that compounded into the marriage that they have. That's how it happened, right? Or you've met someone who has a faith that feels like deep waters. You know what I mean? Like they don't just go to church, they like walk with God. You know, when life hits them with something hard, they persevere as if they're anchored to something. How did they do that? Same answer, investment over time. It wasn't like one church service or some one retreat or anything like that. No, it was daily prayer and daily trust and daily obedience that compounded over time into the faith that they have year by year, day by day. Or you met somebody that has an amazing reputation. They have impeccable character. When they speak, people listen and everyone trusts them. Everyone depends on them. That's the person you go to when you need something. How did they get that reputation? How did they get that character? Not with one moment or one individual thing. It was investment over time, day by day, year by year, showing up as the same quality person, the same good person that compounded into the reputation and the character that they have. That's how legacy works. Legacy is compounding. It's compounding. And it's not just true of your marriage and your faith and your character. It's true of friendships. It's true of work. It's true of health. It's true of finances. It's true of faith. It's all compounding. And while that's, on one hand, good news, it's also simultaneously a little bit unsettling because compounding is neutral, right? Compounding doesn't care what you give it. It will multiply whatever you feed it, whether it's good or bad, whether it's a blessing or a curse, right? Because, you know, faithfulness compounds just as easily as neglect. Kindness compounds just as easily as bitterness. Intentionality compounds just as easily as drifting. It's not a principle that you get to opt out of. That's why it's unsettling. Everything in your life is compounding, and it's happening right now. It's happening right now. And that's why if you were to ask me like, hey, how do I know what legacy I'm gonna have? I'm like, well, the easiest place to look is your life right now because the legacy of tomorrow is being lived today. You don't have to wonder The legacy of tomorrow, it's being lived today, accrued today, compounded today. Day by day, year by year, decade by decade. And this is what Paul is desperate to remind Timothy of in his last words to him, in his letter. He says this, hey, Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, right? So of course, Timothy knows all about his teaching. He was Paul's protege, his mentee. So he followed him around everywhere, listened to all his sermons. He could probably quote all of them. He's like, but Timothy, importantly, that's not even the most important thing I gave you, was my teaching. More importantly, more compellingly than that, what I gave you, what you have learned, my way of life. You've had a front row seat to my way of life. Timothy didn't just hear Paul preach. Timothy watched Paul live. For example, Timothy, you've seen me live with purpose. You see me live with faith. You see me live with patience and love and endurance. You've had a front row seat. Paul modeled for Timothy how to live today the legacy of tomorrow. Timothy, that's what I gave you. More valuable than even my teachings. I showed you how to live today the legacy of tomorrow, the legacy that God is calling you to. But Timothy, with my last words, the imperative I have for you and the encouragement I have for you is this. So for you, therefore, continue in it. My time's ending. My race is ending. But you got to keep going. You got to continue in what you learned. Way more than my teachings, my life and the way that I live. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. In other words, Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, if you want a legacy, like the legacy that God created you to have, the legacy that God's calling you to have, the legacy that you want to have, it won't be built in a moment. It is built by continuing day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, right? Because that's how it works. That's how a legacy is built. You don't conjure a great legacy, you compound it. You can't conjure a great legacy. You gotta compound it. The tomorrow's legacy has to be lived one day at a time, one week at a time. And so that's the question of today. It's not, hey, how do I conjure up a great legacy? No, it's how do I compound one? How do I live a compounding life, a life that compounds into the legacy that God's calling me and has created me to have? And by the way, the one that I want to have very deeply. How do I do that? And the cool thing is that Paul doesn't leave Timothy guessing. He shows him how. He writes to him this letter reminding him how to do it, which is how Paul did it as well. And I see in the text, in the letter, that he gives Timothy four choices that he needs to make, four choices that he's got to make, four choices that will ensure that Timothy lives the legacy of tomorrow today. He lives today the legacy of tomorrow. And I think these things that Paul has to say are helpful for us no matter what stage that we are in, no matter who you are. Like, let's say you're on the front end of legacy looking at what is an exciting and probably also intimidating blank slate, you know, of your future. What we're talking about today is going to help you partner with God in mapping out your course. Or maybe you're in the middle of legacy. You're in the grind of legacy, just, you know, every single day going. And you're wondering, well, am I getting it right? Like, am I still on track? What we're talking about today is going to help you partner with God in diagnosing that and making any necessary adjustments. If you feel like you're in the other side of legacy, what we're talking about today, like the end of legacy and the final stretch of the race, what we're talking about today is going to help you partner with God in finishing strong. But also, if you feel like you have realized that you have built the wrong legacy, that you've been down the wrong road, that you've built the wrong thing, you're like, I'm off track. I am so excited for you today, because what we're talking about is gonna help you figure out how to partner with God in starting your turnaround story. It's gonna start today, and I'm excited for you. Whatever the case may be, God wants to partner with you in your legacy and compounding it. And so we're gonna dive into the four things that Paul says, four choices that you can make starting right now in partnership with God that will ensure, I believe, that you live today the legacy of tomorrow. So here we go. Number one, the first choice is this. Paul says, you need to choose your source. Everybody say source. Choose your source. Or specifically, here's what Paul actually says. He says, Timothy, this is right. We've moved into chapter 2 now. This is chapter 2, verse 1. We were on chapter 1 last week. You then, my son, be strong in the what? in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, choice number one, I want you to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This word is a peculiar word. In general, the word grace means something that you didn't earn or something that you didn't deserve. But in this case, the word grace is referring to God's love for you. God's love for you, the good news of the gospel of Christianity, that no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, you are loved by God and he is offering you total forgiveness and complete restoration and brand new everlasting life, not because of anything that you have done, but because of what he has done for you through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It's a free gift that all you have to do is receive. And when you do receive it, not only are you restored to God as his beloved son or daughter, but everything he has is yours and he fills you in every way. Heart, body, mind, soul. He fills you. And Paul says, Timothy, you have to live from that. You have to live from that. You have to let grace compound in your life. Why? Because you've seen what happens when people don't. You've seen what happens when people don't. The opposite of living from grace is living from lack. That's the opposite of living from grace. It's living from lack. And you've seen this all the time in your life. It's like the friend who's so insecure that they over-needed your time and your validation and it hurt your friendship. Or it's a coworker who was so ambitious to make money or get promoted that they pushed you down in order to lift themselves up. It's like the time in your marriage or the season in your marriage where past wounds made you ask, am I loved, so loudly in your marriage that there wasn't any room for you to love like you wanted to. That's living from lack. And we all have to make this decision in every single area of our lives. Am I trying to earn it or do I already have it? Am I desperately trying to meet my needs or am I already full? Am I performing to get approval or am I already loved? Which is it? And what it is a really big deal because whatever it is, it compounds. Whatever you choose, whatever you decide, whatever conclusion you come to, it's going to compound in your life. Consistently living for grace, like I'm trying to be loved, I'm trying to find something to satisfy me, that'll make you desperate and unhealthy the longer you do it. But oh man, have you ever met somebody who's living from grace? They're living from, I am loved and I am full. Man, that'll make you content. That'll make you at peace. That'll make you joyful. That'll make you a blessing. Turns out that grace is the fuel, not the finish line of our lives. Grace is the fuel. It's not the finish line of our lives, meaning that grace is not something that we were meant to live for. Like, oh, I gotta find it. I'm gonna get it. I gotta find it. I'm gonna get it. No, grace is something we were meant to live from. I already have it. It's already, it's meant to be the fuel of our lives. A great marriage, a great life, a great career, a great family, the graces, they were meant to run on grace. It's what a great marriage was meant to run on. It was grace, okay? And Paul says to Timothy, hey, that's the first decision of living today, the legacy of tomorrow. You need to choose your source. And he's exhorting him, hey, I want you to live from and invest grace. Live from and invest grace, 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 grace. Both first in receiving it from your Heavenly Father, but then passing it on to those around you. Live from grace. Live from grace day after day, year after year, decade after decade, until one day you look up and you realize that a legacy of grace is passing through you to those who are coming behind you. And if you want that to be true of you, maybe you need to ask this question in your life or in an area of your life right now. Where am I relying on pressure, performance, or control instead of grace? That's number one. Number two, choose your direction. Everybody say direction. Choose your direction. Paul says, Timothy, flee. This is chapter 2, verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Choose your direction. Those two verbs in this verse, one is flee, and the second one is pursue. That's direction. Those are arrows pointing somewhere. It's like Google Maps. Paul's like, Timothy, you need to check Google Map. You need direction. You need to pay attention to your direction. It's two verbs, flee and pursue. Why? Because legacy and direction are inseparable. Legacy and direction are inseparable. How do I know? Because everybody dies with good intentions. Everyone. Everyone dies with great intentions. But unfortunately, intentions don't build legacies. Direction does. Action does. Doing something does. As Andy Stanley, our senior pastor, has been telling us for decades, I remember the first time I heard him say it long ago, it's your direction, not your intention, that determines your destination. It's your direction, not your intention, that determines your destination. And Paul says, Timothy, if you want to live a compounding life, like the one you've seen me live, if you want to go live a compounding life, then you got to monitor your direction. You got to monitor your direction. And there's two parts to monitoring your direction. On one hand, there are things that you need to flee from. Paul calls them this, the evil desires. You need to flee from evil desires. Another way of, let me rephrase evil desires. It's a big category of things. Appetites that feel insatiable, temptations that look inviting, shortcuts that promise no consequences, the self-life that feels so natural. Things that, by the way, we were introduced to in our youth when we were young. That's when we first met them, but oh no, they're still here calling our name. Hey, come, do this, go this way, go this way, go this way, go this way. And Paul says, you gotta flee. You gotta run away. Don't negotiate with it. You don't negotiate with them. No, you don't compromise with them. You don't settle with them. No, like you don't try to manage them. That's not what we're talking about here. You don't compromise or negotiate with a hungry lion. You don't try to manage a poisonous serpent. You certainly don't compromise with something and leave room for something in your life that's trying to destroy you. No, you run away. Why? Because if you don't, eventually, these things, they're not just gonna trip you up. They're gonna take you out. They're gonna sabotage your legacy. So you gotta flee. I wonder what thing is inviting you right now. Come this way, run this way, step this way. It's dangerous. And that you need to flee from with everything you got, with a plan and passion and grit and accountability. Do you have something like that in your life? But Paul says, hey, it's not just that we need to flee. Simultaneously, as you're fleeing from something, you also are gonna pursue something else. You're gonna run from some things, but as you're running from them, it's not aimless. No, you're gonna also run towards righteousness. You're gonna run to the right things. You're gonna replace what you're fleeing from with the pursuit of running to. You're gonna run to the right paths. You're gonna run to the right people. You're gonna run to the right habits. You're gonna run to the right priorities. You're gonna run to the teachings of Jesus that will give life and life to the fullest to you and to those who are coming after you. You gotta pursue. And I wonder what thing is right in front of you. God's going like, hey, this way, right here. Hey, it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the having because of your heavenly Father. And he's inviting you into it. And I wonder, what's something in front of you that you need to pursue with passion, with a plan, with grit, with accountability, because it's yours for the taking through Jesus? You gotta flee and you gotta pursue. And what's interesting, don't miss this, it says, this is important, along with. This is not something you're gonna do alone. You don't flee and pursue and set the direction of your life in a silo alone. No, you're meant to do it with allies, with those calling the Lord out of a pure heart. You're meant to do it with some friends or some brothers and sisters in Christ who are fighting for your heart and for your legacy alongside you. It makes all the difference in the world. But Paul says to Timothy, that's decision number two of living today, the legacy of tomorrow. You gotta live today, the legacy of tomorrow. Well, this is what you need to do. You need to choose your direction. Choose your direction. Flee from what's evil and unhealthy, and you go run after and pursue what's good and godly and all that God has for you. And you do it every day after day, every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, and every single decade until one day you look up and realize that a legacy of right direction is passing through you to those who are coming behind you. And if you and I want that to be true, maybe we need to ask this question of our lives or an area of our lives. What do I need to run from? And what do I need to run towards? That's number two. Number three, choose your battles. Everybody say battles. Choose your battles, Paul says, or he's gonna say. He says, Timothy, one other thing. It's the next verse, right after the one we just read. 23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Not in general, just the foolish and the stupid kind. Why? Because you know that they produce quarrels. Have nothing to do with them. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone and able to teach, not resentful. In other words, Paul's saying, Timothy, don't waste your legacy fighting the wrong battles. Don't waste your legacy fighting the wrong battles. So many lives and so many marriages and so many careers and so many families have been undermined or sabotaged or damaged or hurt because somebody was fighting the wrong fight. And you've seen this. You've experienced this directly. You've been on the receiving end of this. Like when someone you know or in your life was fighting to be right and in the process they hurt their relationship with you. Or like when somebody was fighting to get their way and in the process they lost influence with you. Or when somebody was fighting your mind, but in the process completely missed your heart. Or when they were fighting for excellence and they wounded your confidence. Or when you were fighting for control and everything's gonna be under control and in the process they crushed your joy. Like when times when somebody was fighting for A, but the right battle was B, and they missed it, and everyone lost. You wanna know what question haunted me this week? Hey, if you won every battle that you're fighting in your life currently right now, would it be good news for your family? Would it be good news for your spouse, for your kids, for your friends? Would it be good news for your coworkers if you just won everything? Because if not, you need to stop fighting. You need to stop fighting. Some of us are on track, just to be honest, some of us are on track to win every argument and lose every relationship, to make every point without making any difference whatsoever, and we need to stop. But don't get me wrong, there are also battles that we should be fighting. There are battles that God is calling us to fight. Absolutely. There are battles that we should be fighting. Battles for people, battles for good, battles for love, battles for peace, battles for freedom, battles for healing, battles for being the best version of ourselves, battles for the future of the people that we love and that we care about. And God is absolutely calling us to fight those battles. And the truth is, though, that some of us are on track not only to miss the battle, but to miss the whole war because of, I don't know, passivity or fear or confusion or unawareness, ignorance. And God's going, you gotta get in the game. Gotta get in the game. Here's what's true. Some fights, they build your legacy and others burn it. And wisdom is knowing the difference. And Paul's saying to Timothy, hey, that's the third choice of living today, the legacy of tomorrow. You gotta choose your battles, Timothy. Through the wisdom of God, you gotta ask God, give me the wisdom, I need to choose my battles. God, give me the wisdom and the power to lay down the fights and the battles that don't matter and that aren't important and take up the ones that are, the ones that are of God. And you do it day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, until one day you look up and realize that a legacy of victory is passing through you to those coming behind you. That's number three. And number four. Oh, wait. And if you want that to be true of you, you should ask this question in your life or an area of it. What battles do I need to stop fighting and start fighting with wisdom? That's number three. And this is number four. Choose your commitment. Everybody say commitment. Got to choose your commitment. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, you, however... This is back to where we started. You, however, know about my teaching and my way of life. More importantly, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. But Timothy, that's just the good stuff. But then he reminds him of the bad, of the hard. You also know. Don't forget. Don't you dare forget, Timothy. You know about my persecutions. You know about my sufferings, what kinds of things that happened to me. These are real places. Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions that I endured, the Lord had to rescue me from. And you could go read about these in Acts. The book of Acts tells you all the brutal things that Paul went through. It was awful, hard. You and I would have given up a long time ago if we were in his shoes, the things that he went through in his life. And Timothy saw it all. And that's what makes what he says next so sobering. Timothy, what I need you to know, what happened to me, it's gonna happen to you. In fact, everyone, Everyone who wants to live a godly life, a godly legacy, live the life and have the legacy that God's created them and called them to be. Anybody that goes down that path, anybody that takes on that endeavor in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. It's a 100% guarantee. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, Paul is saying, Timothy, with my last words, I just need to tell you, I need to remind you in case you forgot, it's gonna be tough. The legacy that God is inviting you into, it will not be unopposed. It will not be unopposed. It is going to be opposed and it is going to be difficult. And so you're gonna have to be ready. You're gonna have to be ready. Which takes us back again to the very first word. So in light of that, Timothy, my final exhortation to you is you gotta continue. You gotta continue. You gotta keep going. You gotta keep going. Don't you dare give up. You gotta continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of because you know those from whom you've learned it. Timothy, I want you to stay. When others leave, I want you to stay. I'm challenging you to stay because compounding only works. Remember the illustration from the beginning? Compounding only works if you what? Stay in it. You gotta stay in it. You can't build a 40-year marriage if you quit after 7. You can't have a deep faith if you walk away when the first time it's tested. You'll never have a character that others speak of if you quit when it costs you something. That's just not how it works. You don't build a legacy by starting. You build a legacy by staying. You don't build a legacy by starting. You build one by staying. Staying when it's boring. Staying when it's hard. Staying when it's frustrating, staying when the grass is greener, staying when you don't know where to go. You know, some of you are considering giving up and walking away from something or someone that God has called you to, and you have great reasons. You do. We'd all hear them and go, yeah, but God is inviting you to stay. And he's inviting you to believe him to do what only he can do. And that is really important because in the end of the day, staying, it's ultimately not about trying harder. Well, man, you just need to stay in it and try harder. Yo, you just gotta stay in it and try harder. No, that's not the kind of staying I'm talking about. I'm talking about staying in connection with your Heavenly Father. That's the kind of staying. Is you're gonna say, I'm gonna stay here and I'm gonna stay connected to my Heavenly Father and I'm gonna receive from him, from his Holy Spirit, staying power. Did you know that God wants to give you staying power in the things that he's called you to? Why? Because those are the people that get the legacy. Not those who start things, but those who stay. Not the ones who start, but the ones who stay. So Paul says to Timothy, hey, the fourth decision of living today, the legacy of tomorrow, is you gotta choose your commitment. And I want you to choose to stay. Choose to stay and do it day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, until one day you wake up and realize that you are the compounding story. You're the 40-year guy. You're the 40-year girl. And a legacy of faithful compounding is overflowing through you into the lives of those around you and coming behind you. And they are so grateful. They are so grateful. So if you want that to be you and me, we should ask this question in our lives or maybe in an area, where am I tempted to quit, coast, or keep my options open? And what am I going to do about it? So that's what I want to invite you to do this week. Choose your source. Choose your direction, choose your battles, choose your commitment. Last week, I gave you an exercise and I'm gonna give you one this week as well. You're like, dang, we got homework in this series. Yeah, but man, this is changing my life even as we're doing it, I'm telling you. Last week, I invited you to do an inventory of what you've been handed. And this week, I wanna invite you to do an audit of what you're investing. You know, that might kind of trigger me just now saying that because tax season's coming up, but like, pick a different word if that helps. I'm gonna give you one of these. This is what I want you to do. I want you to take one of these. Got one on the way in. I'd love for you to take this and do this in your quiet time, some part of your day, whatever part of your day that you have set aside for you, for God. I'd love for you to do this. And here's how it's gonna work. Legacy investment audit. Step one, you're just gonna turn to this side and you're just gonna ask the question, hey, where am I headed? And there's areas of life listed here. And just take some notes. Where am I headed? I mean, you don't have to do all of them. I put them there to help, but do as many as you want. If nothing changes and you maintain your current direction and pace, where will you likely be in 10 years in these areas? And make some notes. And then I want you to circle one. Circle the one that bothers you, or the one whose answer is not quite satisfying. Maybe you ask God, Father, is there one of these that you want more for me? I don't know, but I want you to circle one. And then turn it over and do step two. In that area, whatever you circle, and you can do this for all the areas if you want, but just at least pick one and ask what needs to change. What needs to change? And you're gonna do that by asking the questions that Paul just gave us in 2 Timothy. Where am I relying on pressure, performance, or control instead of grace? What do I need to intentionally run from and run towards in this area? What battles do I need to stop fighting or start fighting? Where am I tempted to quit, coast, or keep my options open? What am I gonna do about it? And just write some answers down and just see where God leads you in this process. See what comes to mind, see what God puts in front of you. What does God invite you into? I'm excited for you to see what God invites you into as a result of this, because he's doing it for me. He did it for me this week, just myself. The legacy of tomorrow is being lived today. The legacy of tomorrow, it's being lived today. So let's leverage the power of compounding. Let's do it. Let's leverage the power of compounding. And let's partner with God in it. It's not something you do on your own. No, you partner with God. You stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. You just partner with God in living today the legacy of tomorrow. And do it day by day. Just do it day by day. Day by day. Until day by day becomes week by week. And then month by month. And then year by year. And then decade by decade. And then one day you look up and realize that something beautiful and consequential has been built. Something worth passing on. A legacy. Let me pray for us. Father, as always, we ask that you give us wisdom to know what to do and courage to do it. Thank you that we don't have to wonder if you've got a good plan for us. Now we know that you do. The life and the legacy that you're inviting us into, it's so important to you that you sent Jesus to die for our sins and rise from the dead, that just so you could invite us into it. And so we thank you for that. As best we can, we wanna step into it. But we do confess we need you. It's kind of hard to think about living the legacy of tomorrow today. A lot of really tough questions. And so God, we ask for your help. We pray that you would point out an area of our lives that you have more for. Just one, maybe just one area of our lives where you're inviting us to more, and that wouldn't be scary. It would be exciting to think, oh my gosh, do you have more for me in this area? And I could partner with you? Man, what an opportunity. So I pray that you give us wisdom to know what you're up to and courage to follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.